Well, it's good to be in church today because I just got back from holidays. And Jeremy and I, we went on our first ever cruise. Put your hand up if you've ever been on a cruise before. Now, keep your hand up if you liked being on a cruise. Yeah, most people liked it. Well, our cruise, it went for 10 nights. We departed from Sydney. And we did like 4 island stops while we were away. So I've actually got some photos to show you if you would like. So this is a photo that I took on Mare, which is in New Caledonia. This was one of 2 sunny days that we had in the whole time. So I didn't quite get the tan that I was hoping that I would get. But this was a really beautiful day. The water's absolutely crystal clear. It's stunning over there. Then we stopped at Port Villa in Vanuatu. This is a photo of some aqua quads that we hired. They're kind of like a slower but more stable version of a jet ski. They're a lot of fun though. We rode all around the port in Port Villa. And then that's a photo of our cruise ship, the Carnival Spirit. And that photo is taken at Mystery Island. Now, has anyone here been to Mystery Island? It's really, really beautiful. I think they call it Mystery Island because no one lives there. But we had a really, really great morning there. And then the last photo I want to show you is this. So this is Lefou Isle, and that's a marine conservation park that they've got there. And if you look really, really closely, you can see some people snorkeling up there. It like bucketed the day we were there. But it didn't stop us. We still had an incredible day. And you know, the best thing about being on a cruise was that someone cooked our dinner every night and then they cleaned up. And then, you know, we'd go for dinner, then we'd go see a show, then we'd usually go to the comedy club, play a couple of rounds of 500, and then we'd come back for the night to go to sleep and our bed was made. Our bathroom was tidy, our room was tidy. How good is that? It's like they've got these magical fairies to do that. Why can't I have magical fairies like that at home? Like, seriously. But we had a really, really good time. And so we went on this cruise with my in-laws. So that's Jeremy's parents, Dean and Vicky. Now, I know that some of you will know them. But Dean and Vicky, they're experienced cruisers. Like, they're definitely more experienced than Jeremy and I. And so Dean loves a good snorkel. Does anyone here like snorkeling? Yep. Jeremy's a pretty keen snorkeler as well. Vicky's not into snorkeling at all. She likes to sit on the beach and read a magazine or read a book. And me, I'm kind of like, yeah, I do like snorkeling, but I've got a couple of hesitations about it. You see, I'm a born and bred Queensland girl. So the water needs to be at least 27 degrees for me to go in there. And then the other thing is, like, I'm actually a bit of a scaredy cat. I know that's really hard to believe. But here in Australia, everything either wants to eat you or poison you. And snorkeling on a reef is no different. There is marine life there that wants to eat you or poison you. And so, you know, in thinking about all of this, like, I really had a dilemma on my hands. And so, this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. In these moments, I usually have to stop. I take a breath and I think, how will future Ellen feel when she's off the island and she hasn't snorkeled? Will I be full of regret? Will I be grateful for the decision that I made? And usually, once I've thought about this, and if there's a bit of peer pressure thrown in there as well, I just suck it up and I do whatever it is. And so this meant that I went snorkeling. Now, of course, you know, we'd get to the island each day and everyone else would be ready to go. They'd already have their sun cream on. So Dean and Jeremy would go out, they'd start snorkeling, and I wouldn't put my sun cream on the room. I'd wait till we got to the beach. Then I'd put my sun cream on. And then, of course, you need at least 30 minutes to let it dry. So I'd lie like a lizard on the beach, just warming up, letting my sun cream dry, and then, you know, I couldn't really delay it any further, so I'd get up and I'd go to the water. You know, first it would be my feet, And then my legs, slowly I would inch into the water, body part by body part, bracing myself because the Pacific Ocean in August and September is not 27 degrees. And until I was fully in the water, then I would put my snorkel on, I'd put my flippers on, I'd take a breath, I'd put my head under the water, I'd open my eyes, and suddenly everything changed. I lingered for a moment. Suddenly the cold water, my fear of the creatures under the water, none of it mattered. It was all worth it. And you know, I tell you about my holidays because number one, I love holidays. Number two, I love to travel. But also today, I want to talk to you about lingering. So Vicky read us a passage before, and I just want to give you a bit of context because it's a pretty strange passage, really, when you think about it. So Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they're wandering around in the wilderness trying to find their way to the promised land, the land that God promised would one day belong to Abraham's people. So before this, in chapter 32, Moses has been up on Mount Sinai, Joshua is up there with him, and God gives him the stones of tablet with the Ten Commandments and instructions for the tabernacle. So they're up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And then Moses returns to the people to find that they've melted all the gold that they have and built a golden calf. Now you've got to remember here that the Israelites were God's chosen people. So the fact that God's chosen people built a golden calf and then started worshipping it was really, really, really bad. So obviously, God was really angry about the situation, and he said that he would destroy the people and that he would not go with them to the promised land. And this is where we find ourselves. So Moses has petitioned God, saying, you know, come with us. So in the passage that Vicky read before, Moses would pitch a tent outside the camp and would call it the tent of meeting. As Moses went to the tent, a pillar of cloud would descend and stay at the camp, at the tent, as Moses spoke to the Lord face to face as one would speak to a friend. Now, just a side note, how cool would it be if you knew that it was God speaking to you when there was a pillar of cloud that descended from heaven? I think that that would be so good. Moses was such a lucky guy. But Moses would return to the camp, and then Joshua, his young aide, he would not leave the tent. Joshua would linger. And I actually want to talk to you about Joshua today. So this is my favorite part in the passage. Joshua lingered because he loved to be in the presence of God. So before we go any further, I just want to clarify that it's important to note that when we talk about getting into the presence of God, this is different to God being omnipresent. So God's omnipresent means that he's everywhere and at all times, whether we know it or we see it, or, you know, if we don't know it. So Psalm 137, that's the wrong verse. I apologize for that. There we are. Psalm 139. Verses 7 to 10 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So God is everywhere at all times. But I'm talking about getting into God's manifest presence, which is something that occurs in our lives as God chooses to reveal himself. It's the result of his interaction with us overtly and unmistakably. It's then that we experience God. So some biblical examples of this. God passes by Moses on Mount Sinai, when Jacob wrestles with God, when the Holy Spirit comes on Mary and she becomes pregnant with Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Or another really good example is Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus. And of course, there's Jesus, and Jesus is the most significant example of this. And John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the Old Testament, the presence of God came upon particular people at particular times. But when Jesus came to earth, he made the presence of God available to all. He became tabernacled among us. And then, when he was resurrected and went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit for all people, through the work of Jesus on the cross and the Holy Spirit, every person can have access to the presence of God. So sometimes the presence of God will be something that's visible, something that you can hear or something that you can sense physically. Other times it'll be crazy signs and wonders. Sometimes it's like an unexplainable sense of peace or joy or love that you get. A moment of intimacy when the knowledge that you have in your head about God providing rest and comfort or his unrelenting love for you becomes experienced knowledge, knowledge that you can feel in your heart. It will be a moment that you aren't expecting where you make the choice to seek God even though you don't know what's going to happen. But once you are there, sitting in his presence, in his perfect love, there's literally no other place that you would rather be. It's just like me and my snorkeling. Getting into the cold water was a choice, and I didn't know what was going to happen when I put my head under the water. But once I did it, I didn't want to be anywhere else. So the first thing I want to talk about is lingering in the presence of God will change your perspective. Do we have any lingerers here? Maybe you've got a child that lingers when they should go to bed. Or I think everyone's got that friend that comes to their house for dinner and then they stay and you really want them to go home so you can go to bed, but they don't, they linger. Or is anyone here that is that friend that does that? Well, Joshua would not depart from the presence of God. He would linger. He stayed at the tent because he loved the presence of God. You know, later on in Joshua's life, he was selected to represent his tribe Ephraim when the 12 spies were sent into Canaan to inspect the land that God had promised to give them. So that was in Numbers 13. And when they returned, all of the spies, except for Joshua and Caleb, reported that the people that they saw were too strong and too big and that they could not attack them. However, Joshua and Caleb reported that they were certain that the Israelites could take possession of the land because they had faith in God. Lingering in the presence of God taught Joshua to remain full of faith, even when the Israelites turned their back on God. When we spend time in the presence of God, our faith tanks, they get filled, and we start to see things the way that God sees them. Our perspective starts to change. You know, it's like snorkeling. You stick your head in the water, and you linger for a second, and you might notice a bit of coral, but you stay there, and all of a sudden, you can see these different shapes and these different colours. You'll see different fish swimming around. You might see like some sort of marine life in under a cave. There was one time Jeremy and I were snorkeling at Tangalooma at the wrecks there, and we looked down and we saw a wobbegong shark. It was camouflaged in the shipwreck. We only saw this wobbegong shark because we lingered. And you know, people give up on their dreams way too early because they don't get into the presence of God. Things start to look difficult, or they're faced with an impossible situation. And so it becomes easy to stop believing in the dream or that they can reach that goal or that their situation will improve. It's in the presence of God that we get the courage to keep going, even though it looks impossible in the natural. Because our perspective has changed, we are full of faith and we still see the dream and the vision. When you get into the presence of God, you can literally face anything. The second thing that I want to talk about is lingering in the presence of God will position you for transformation. So if you're not aware of Joshua's story, it's pretty impressive. So Joshua was born in Egypt prior to the Exodus. So from that, we know that he was a slave. He was Moses' aide after the Israelites leave Egypt. He was with God on Mount Sinai when Moses got the Ten Commandments. We talked about that before. That was the first time that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. He was chosen by God to succeed Moses. He led the Battle of Jericho, after the Israelites had crossed the Jordan River. And, you know, he actually led the Israelites in so many other victories as well. And, you know, you look at his life, and Joshua did some really, really remarkable things. And we can see that he undergoes incredible transformation. He goes from being a slave boy in Egypt to leading the Israelites into the promised land. And you know, I didn't know this, but Joshua actually gets a name change. The Bible tells us in Numbers 13, verse 16, that when Moses sends out the 12 spies to explore the land in Canaan, Joshua's name is changed. His name is changed from Hosea, which in English means O save, to Yeshua, which is the shortened version of the name. Now, I apologize if I don't say this properly, but Yehoshua or Joshua, which in English means salvation. Jesus is the English translation of the Hebrew name from Greek into English. Joshua was an Old Testament type of Christ. He foreshadowed Jesus. The Israelites needed a savior to enter the promised land, and the prefigure for this Christ was Joshua. Because Joshua served under Moses, there is no doubt that he would have received some really great training. You know, in today's church world, we'd probably say that he was discipled and mentored by Moses. And that would have been really, really fantastic. But you know, I don't think that Joshua became a great leader because of this. Joshua became a great leader because he encountered God and spent time remaining in his presence. He stayed at the tent because he loved being in the presence of God. Joshua's value for the presence of the Lord was what made him stand head and shoulders above the rest. He wasn't a leader for the recognition of man. He wasn't even in it for the thrill of the outcome of Moses' encounters with God. Joshua stayed at the tent because he loved God's presence. He loved his glory. It's only from devotion to prayer and intimacy that we can fully step into God's purposes for us. Do you linger in the presence of God? When we sit and linger, we position ourselves for God to change us. He'll highlight parts of our life that don't reflect him, and he'll bring correction and refinement. He'll work on your heart, deal with your sin, deal with the attitudes of your heart, and you start to become more like him. I know that for me, this has been my reality. God's pointed out selfishness, laziness, insecurities, and he's brought correction and refinement to my life. And you know, sometimes I think we wonder why our situation isn't changing. Like logically, we're doing everything right, but still our thinking pattern's not changing, or we're still really struggling to break that bad habit. You know, next time you find yourself in one of these situations, I challenge you, linger in the presence of God and see what happens. And lastly, in the presence of God, you will find what you need. The Bible is full of verses about the presence of God. There's freedom, rest, joy, provides comfort. It's a place where prayer is heard and we have confidence. And there are so many other verses as well. Have we got any Harry Potter fans in the room? I love Harry Potter. I've read all of the books and I've seen all of the movies. And in Harry Potter, there's this thing and it's called the Room of Requirement. I've got a photo of it up there. And the Room of Requirement is a magical room which can only be discovered by someone who has a need. The room appears when that person has a need, and it always comes equipped with whatever it is that they need. For Harry Potter, the Room of Requirement was different things at different times. It was a place of safety, a place of rest, a place to store treasures. When Harry and his friends were facing oppression at their school, it provided them with somewhere where they could sleep and a way to get out of the castle undetected. It also gave them a place where they could train and practice so that they could face their enemies. The Room of Requirement provided them with whatever they needed. Do you know it's the same with the presence of God, except the presence of God is so, so much better. In the presence of God, we find what we need. And I think it's important to note that sometimes what we think we need will be different to what God says we need. Do you know, this has been my reality so many times, but I'm so glad that God is so much smarter than me and that his ways are higher than mine. Because if he gave me what I thought that I needed instead of what he said I needed, then who knows what could have happened. Recently, I woke up one morning and I had my day all planned out. And I just felt this real prompting on my heart that I needed to stay home that day and just change what I was doing. And at the time, I was facing some really, really huge giants. I felt really backed into a corner and I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what the outcome was. But I listened to this prompting and I stayed home that day. And I literally just hung out with God all day in my lounge room. And it was amazing. I prayed, I praised him, I worshipped him. I cried out to him. I told him the frustrations that were on my heart. And that day I found rest and comfort. In the chaos of my life, he spoke to me that day. He spoke to me about some situations that I was facing. He reminded me of his promises. He reminded me of his faithfulness and the times that he's been faithful before. And he reminded me that I can trust him and that he does know what he's doing. That day, I walked into the presence of God and I was carrying my burdens. I was carrying my worry, my anxiety, my stress, my fear. But I left carrying his promises. He is such a good, good Father who cares about us. In the presence of God, we lack nothing. We find what we need. Earlier, I talked about snorkeling and my fear of the cold water and what lies beneath the surface. And for me, this was almost enough for me to choose to opt out from going snorkeling. And man, I would have been so regretful. I would have felt like I missed out if I did that. And whether or not we care to admit, sometimes our desire to be in the presence of God can be like this as well. We'll make excuses. We'll say, you know what, I'm too busy. I don't have time to do that. Or, you know, getting into the presence of God, that's just something that pastors have to do. I don't need to do that. Or maybe you're hesitant because you know that when you are in the presence of God, you're not the one that's in control. God is in control. And that freaks you out. But you know, also I think sometimes we think, you know, when the junk in my life is sorted out, when the mess of my life is sorted out and I'm feeling a bit more holy, that's when I'm worthy enough to get into the presence of God. But Jesus says, come as you are. I encourage you, don't miss out. Get in there and stay in there. God created you for you to know him, for you to love him, and for you to have fellowship with him. And you know, there's nothing wrong with being content with your relationship with God. You might be reading your Bible regularly, spending time in prayer, going to church. You might be really disciplined about it, and that's really great. Like I, for one, I love discipline and I love structure. But the threat of contentment is complacency. And if we get complacent, sometimes our relationship with God can become stagnant. And you know, it's so easy for this to happen. It happens before you even realize that it's happened. God is calling you to deeper levels. He's calling you to know him more, to experience his love at deeper levels, for you to have fresh and new encounters with him. He calls us to new levels of surrender and intimacy with him. So I challenge you, get into his presence and stay there. Let him take you to deeper places or wherever it is that he wants to take you. And you know, getting into his presence isn't just something that we can do at church. You can do it anytime. For me, I often talk to God when I'm driving by myself. So I'll be seeking God and then I spend time in the presence of God in my car. Other times it'll be in my hammock outside or even when I'm walking our dog. You can seek God whenever you want. If I could get the band to come up here now, thanks. I'd like to spend some time seeking God's presence. Do you know, for some of you, this might be the very first time that you've done this. And you know what? That's fantastic. And for other people here, maybe you seek God on a daily basis. That's really fantastic as well. You know what? Maybe that it's time for you to get your heart right with God. Maybe you've been seeking other things instead of the presence of God. We're going to have people here to pray, available to pray with you if you'd like. Or perhaps you're after a fresh encounter with him. You know, I have prayed that prayer so many times. Lord, I want a fresh encounter with you. Show yourself to me in a new way. Or maybe you've never felt God's love or his peace. Well, I pray today that you would have a revelation of God's love for you and his peace. Or maybe it's that you need fresh perspective on a situation. I encourage you, spend time with him. Ask him to change the way that you see things. Ask him to give you the eyes that he has. Or maybe you want God to set you on fire today, to increase your hunger and your passion for him. You know, whatever it is that you need, in his presence, you will find it. I'd like to pray, and then the band's going to play. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence, Lord, and I thank you that all of us can get into your presence. Lord, I thank you that in your presence there is rest, there is joy, there is love, there is peace, there is comfort. And Lord, right now, just speak to every single heart, Lord, and I just speak against any fear, and I speak against uncertainty, Lord. And I just pray that the walls and the fear would be gone. Lord, I pray that we would see things the way that you seek us, Lord. I pray for fresh encounters today. And Lord, I pray that you would set us on fire, Lord. I pray that you would increase our hunger for you. So we just go after and after and after you, Lord. And we just want to go to new levels with you every single day. Lord, we give you permission to do whatever you want to do. Amen.